Hit the restart button. We're right there too. Recharge those batteries. We're here to help you.
Aloha, I am Katie Ritter.
And I'm Justin Thomas, and this is the Restart Recharge podcast, a podcast by coaches for coaches. We bring the tips and tricks to help you in your everyday work as an instructional technology coach, or, you know, whatever they call you in your school district.
So hopefully you're going to leave this episode with us today feeling just a little bit less on your own coaching island.
And we have a really great episode here today because we want to know who is telling your story if you don't. So telling the story of what we do and the story of all the good stuff that's happening in our classrooms and in our buildings and our school districts can transform our schools for the better. So on today's episode, we'll be discussing the ins and outs of telling your story with Ryan McLean, co-author of the book Your School Rocks, So Tell People, and our very own master storyteller, Michael Roush. So we all have a story to tell. Let's start telling it today. And let me introduce Ryan McLean. Ryan currently serves as the assistant superintendent and has also served as a principal and director of special education for the West Muskingum Local School District located in Zanesville, Ohio. He is also the co-author of the book Your School Rocks, So Tell People. And he is a passionate educator about learning, making learning fun, I should say, and sharing those experiences with the community through the use of social media. Ryan began his career as a high school social studies teacher and a business teacher, where he taught for 12 years and also coached football and wrestling before making the transition to administration. He is also a graduate of Muskingum College and Xavier University. Ryan lives just outside of Columbus, Ohio, with his wife and two daughters. So welcome, Ryan McLean. Thank you for joining us here on the Restart Recharge podcast.
Hey, great to be here. Thanks for having me. I look forward to talking with you this afternoon.
Yeah, and thanks for fitting us in with all of your free time that it sounds like you have, Ryan. Not sure how you found time in everything you do to write a book, but we're honored to have you join us for a little bit of time on the podcast. So we're glad to have you. I'll go ahead and introduce Michael Roush. You may have heard Michael on the podcast previously. He's been on a few episodes with us. Michael Roush specializes in educational technology, assistive technology, and the universal design for learning. Michael was a 2018 TEDx Dayton speaker where his talk was titled Lessons My Daughter with Autism Has Taught Me, and I can personally speak to the fact that it will bring you to tears. And Michael and his wife Angie live in rural southwestern Ohio. They have four adult children, two in grade school and one grandson. Michael's passion in education is helping every student learn to be able to define and achieve what the highest level of success means for them. And we're super excited to have Michael with Ryan and us during this episode because Michael actually led a little workshop for our team over the summer around TEDx in storytelling, which kind of led to this larger discussion and interest on our team and ultimately invited Ryan into the conversation as well with his expertise and in background in this as well. So welcome back to the podcast, Michael.
Thank you very much, Katie. It's great to be back with you.
Yeah. All right, guys. So let's kick it off. Ryan, in your book, Your School Rocks, So Tell People, you talk about two challenges that schools face today. Could you share those with our listeners a little bit more and just give a little bit more background on what led you to identifying those two challenges that you discuss?
Yeah, absolutely. So we wrote the book. Eric Lowe, who's the superintendent at Beaver Local, he and I wrote this book about 5 years ago now, and I think the two challenges are still there, and that's invisibility and misinformation. And it seems like the frustration in education is, you know, a lot of great things are happening and no one knows about them, or there's a bunch of misinformation going on in the community about something that is or is not happening in our schools. And I think both of those hold true today. When Michael and I were in school, I feel like the two of us are older than the two of you, but the only chance the public knew about what was going on in our classrooms is if we were fortunate enough to be featured in the local newspaper, perhaps one time a year. So maybe once a year, the newspaper would do a puff piece on your school, something that was going on, and that was it. And with all of the tools that are available to us today with the iPhone or an iPad, social media, waiting for a news outlet to do a story on you is just, you know, hoping, whereas you can control that narrative. And also, again, we see this in a lot of things, not just schools today, but misinformation. How many times do you see something on Facebook that's not even remotely true? Now, at least being on social media, we're aware that it's out there, so we can address it, or we can actually respond and set the record straight.
I love that. That is like perfectly captured.
Yes.
Oh, invisibility and misinformation. Yes, I feel like you could like digest everything going on into those two problems.
You really could, because I mean, people have these made up conceptions of what is going on in our school, and that's kind of what leads to that misinformation. So you're absolutely right. I mean, kind of in the, not even 10, 20 years ago, even there's situations where you just had to kind of hope for that local newspaper to kind of feature a story about what cool things you're doing. But then even that, you know, kind of fades away with time. But with social media and everything like that, it is critical to take advantage of being able to really showcase what your school is doing to provide that, lift the invisibility cloak there and show what is happening, which is awesome. Michael, you've led our team in some work recently about telling your story or controlling your own narrative. Could you provide a little bit more detail on what telling your story means?
Yeah, it's a, some people hear story and they think it has to fit some special structure or some, you know, something like that, or they, you know, they think, oh, you know, I don't have a story. There's nothing special. There's nothing unique, but the fact is, whether we're talking about you, someone you know, your company, your organization, your school, your district, your building, your classroom, whatever it is that you're thinking about on this, that your that organization's existence up until this moment has been a unique set of circumstances that have led to you or your organization being what it is. Some of that's good, some of that's bad, but whatever it is, it's uniquely you. Okay? It's, you're the only one who has gone through that set of circumstances. So really, telling your story just means giving people a little peek behind that curtain, letting them know what's going on, what has gone on in that process, what is going on, what has gone on to get you there, so that they understand a little more, so that they build some empathy. For you, for the circumstance, what's going on. Now there's some openness to vulnerability that has to happen there. And I think that's the scary part. I think that's the part that mm-hmm. people get a little nervous about. But I gotta tell you, and I think Ryan will concur on this when talking about your school district, that I'm constantly learning in my life that I would much rather people hear the truth about me and have to ignore it than hear a lie about me and just believe it, because there's no other message out there to contradict it.
I love that. That is awesome. So in this context of telling your story and you have a unique story to share, kind of pairing that piece with the concepts and the challenges from Ryan's book with invisibility and misinformation, I feel like coaches, who is, you know, really our primary audience listening to this podcast, coaches in schools, I think, have kind of this really unique role to help bridge that storytelling gap, if you will. They see what may be invisible to many others by being in so many classrooms. And teachers, we often say, don't mm-hmm. usually brag on themselves. And as coaches, we try to brag on them. In our episode 18, Brooke talked about, you know, relentlessly bragging on teachers as a coach. So really making those things not invisible anymore. And they really serve as change agents across the district by helping to clarify some of that misinformation. But I think, you know, Michael, to your piece, a little bit about like telling the story, sometimes putting yourself out there, sometimes, you know, encouraging someone else to put themselves out there, if that's even the role that they're serving, it can be, like you said, having to, that vulnerability piece can just be a little bit nerve-wracking sometimes. So if this concept is brand new, what advice might the two of you give to someone to help them get started with this whole idea of storytelling and telling the school story, telling your individual story? How would you recommend people get started?
So I think there's two different ways you have to look at this, and I know your target audience is coaches, and when I speak about this, the majority of the time it's directed at schools and districts and how they can do it. But I feel like it's important, really more now so than ever, for coaches, because you've got to establish your value in a district. So I can't think of a person that it's more important to make sure they're sharing the positive things that are happening in the schools, the positive influence those coaches are having on the teachers, than the coach themselves. So
here, here.
There's a reason that the coaches should be listening to this. I think first of all, you've got to commit to doing it. So you've got to jump in and do it, or you're never going to do it. So I think that's the biggest thing, is a commitment to, hey, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get these stories out there, because in turn, you know, I'll speak as an administrator again. If I've got a coach that's doing their primary job of coaching our teachers and improving their instruction and the experience for our kids, and then they start creating some of this content, man, they're making me look really good, and they're getting a lot of this done for me. I'm gonna place a whole lot of value in that individual. So, you know, talking about social media, I've got three things here. One, does your school have a social media platform that they use? When we wrote this book 5 years ago, maybe one or two hands would raise in an audience. Now it's the opposite. So I think the majority of schools are embracing social media, even though most of us probably wish it didn't exist. We are embracing it. Two, if you're going to start using it, start with photographs. So if you're going to share the experiences and the great things that are happening in the classrooms, sharing a photograph is a good way to start, because it's quick, it's easy, you can catch it in the moment. It's not going to take a whole lot of your time away from your primary job as a coach. And again, make sure you know your school's policy of who can be photoed and who can't. And then finally, if you can transition to video, creating videos of what is happening, those experiences, it's going to be so significant, because what ends up happening is when we share those photos and those videos, when the kid goes home from school, the parents no longer ask the obligatory, what did you do at school today? They say, hey, I saw on Facebook you had some pilots from Southwest Airlines in your class. Tell me about that. And then the kid can't shut up. And now you're sitting around at dinner, you're sitting on the couch. I mean, just think about that. I've got two kids of my own. And if they're talking about the great things that are happening at school, that's going to make me feel a whole lot better and have a whole lot more confidence in what's going on in my kids' schools and my classrooms. And it's a win for everyone involved.
I love that. I feel like our listeners can't see the, I feel like a bobblehead. We're all, the rest of us are nodding really hard to what you're saying. I love that. I love the idea, especially of the photos and videos, to really kind of invite those people into the school who can't actually be there during the school day. I feel like it's every teacher's dream to have their kids actually go home and talk about what they learned today, not say nothing, because we do something all day.
I mean, if you think about it too, some of those schools that, you know, are always kind of you think of those like the leading schools, the schools that are always like up there in the leaderboard, and like leading change, leading innovation. A lot of those schools are showing it, right, by their social media. So I think that's so important about how, like you said, about 5 years ago, maybe just a couple hands here, there, and more schools have jumped on board, but there's still schools out there that are kind of struggling to find this. And it's so important, because it does have those conversations, the conversation starter, I should say, with those students at home, just simply because, you know, parents just easily follow the school, whether it's on Twitter or Instagram or wherever, and then they're able to see the amazing things the students are doing, then saying, hey, what happened today? Let's talk about it. I saw this. And the students, like you said, I mean, once it's something like that, they just go on and on and on about how excited they are about it.
That's awesome. Michael, what tips do you have for getting people started?
think my biggest thing on this one is don't let the first time somebody asks you to tell the story be the first time you tell the story. You have to practice it. You have to rehearse it. You have to refine it. You have to work on it before somebody sticks the microphone in your face to ask you the question. Because if that's when you start trying to put the story together, it won't be there. It just won't happen. And you know, some guided questions can really help you with that. You may not have an answer right now. I mean, if we asked the coaches listening to this, you know, why did you decide to do this? Some of them may be like, well, I'm not really sure. I know, but I can't tell.
Especially this year, they might say, I'm not really sure.
I don't know.
But then, you know, if you break that down a little bit and you go with some little more guided questions to get into it, I think it, you know, if I would ask the coaches listening to this podcast, it's like, okay, you show up for school tomorrow and all of your appointments are canceled. What are you going to do with the day? Now you're going to start answering the question, why did I do this? Because the stuff that you get to choose, you know, and so when you're saying, oh, what's telling your story, it's really getting at that essence of, you know, okay, I can talk all day about what I do. I can even talk a little bit about how I do what I do. But until I can answer that question about why I do what I do, that's when we're really digging into the meat of this idea of telling your story.
So what caused me to do this was, this was well before we wrote the book, obviously, but I was following a principal from Virginia on Twitter, and he was doing this weekly video newsletter. And I sat there and watched it. His was like 5 minutes long. And the first couple minutes was, you know, pictures and videos from the week. And then the last, you know, minute or two was him talking into the camera about what was coming up, like what families needed to know. What was coming up for school. And that was like my aha moment, because I had zero connection to this guy. I didn't have like a nephew in the school. I didn't really know him outside of Twitter. And I just spent 5 minutes watching a video about his entire school. And then I didn't read a single newsletter of my kids from their school that was coming home. Their principal sent home a paper newsletter every single Friday. And I loved their principal. She's a great lady. Great principal. Not once did I ever read that newsletter. And I'm thinking to myself, I won't read something about my own kid because I've got to pick up a piece of paper and read it, but I'll watch a 5-minute video from a guy in Virginia that I have no connection to. Like, why am I not doing this? So I, at that moment, I was like, you know what, I'm going to do it. So we created a video newsletter the next, I think this was like on a Wednesday. Did it the next Friday, and it was horrible. Like should have practiced. No practice. I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. It's going to be horrible. I'll never do it again, but at least I can say I tried. And the feedback I got from families was just remarkable. Like, we love seeing photos of the kids. We love seeing the teachers. We loved hearing you tell us what was going on. Maybe smile a little bit more next time. But other than that, it was great. So I would do it every week. I was a principal for from that point on for 8 more years. And pretty much every Friday I called it the weekly video newsletter. And I kept it under 3 minutes long. And we would post it on Facebook, and just the amount of engagement we got from our community. So if you're a coach and you're skeptical about this, or maybe you're thinking, I want to try this, here would be my challenge for you. Over the next week, just take some photographs of the classes that you're in, the cool things that you're seeing. And then I use an app on the iPhone. It's called Quick, Q-U-I-K. I think GoPro makes it. It's free. And what it allows you to do is just add photos, and it'll transition the photos and sync it up to music for you. So you can select how long you want the video to be. So just in this trial run, do something for 60 seconds and then watch it. And then think, would my community want to see this? And 100 out of 100 times, the answer is going to be yes, they will be all over it.
I love that.
It really is. I think the visual components is so important on this. And Ryan, I don't know what your football fandom is, but down here we're obviously Bengals fans. And if I were to tell you about this amazing touchdown that Burrow had to Ja'Marr Chase, you'd be like, well, that was cool. But if I showed you the actual video of it, you'd be more apt to be like, well, that was cool. That was awesome. That was a great play. So I think that visual component is so important. And even like you said, it takes a little bit of time, but just having that visual, it shows the community that you are interested in actually creating this video for them a little bit more. I mean, obviously with your newsletters, you know, it's kind of, you suspect that you might be making it, but at the same time, it can be, well, somebody, you know, they could have divvied that off to someone else or how exactly. But if you're sitting there in the video, it's more than likely going to be you that's taking the time to sit down, show off some amazing pictures and videos of what is happening in the school district and really make that community connection.
Yeah, and I grew up in Pittsburgh, so that visual really hurts.
Yeah.
We'll just leave it at that there. Yeah. Right? Let's leave it at that. All right, well, moving on. So we kind of talked about how you get started with telling your story. Obviously, it's something that needs to be told. But to many people, that concept of telling your story can be very daunting. You've kind of maybe you've gotten started, but you know, there's always the moments where you're trying to turn back. You don't really want to go completely through it. And we'll talk a little bit more about how you can kind of break that mental block or that hesitation after a break from our sponsors.
Looking for a program that reaches all teachers and learning new tools to integrate in their lessons? EDU Badges is the answer. EDU is an anytime, anywhere badging program that is designed to take bite-sized tools for instruction and teach teachers how to use them. EDU has received the ISTE Seal of Alignment for Educator Standards, and each badge in our expanding library is aligned to the ISTE standards and the SAMR model. Learn more about the program that teachers call addicting at forward-edge.net/EDU Badges.
Welcome back to the Restart Recharge podcast. Justin Thomas with Katie Ritter, the two hosts of the podcast. And we have on our podcast episode today, Ryan McLean and Michael Roush, talking about storytelling and the importance of the storytelling in your school district. And before we took a break here, we were kind of talking about how you can kind of overcome that hesitation, that mental block, because really the concept of telling your story, let's be honest, for some of us, it might be very simple. We're like, yeah, let's go. We're excited, ready to tell a story. But for others, they want to tell a story, but they're not exactly sure how to do it or how to kind of go through it. And they may have gotten started, but can be very daunting. People might not think they have that significant story to tell. So they might not be sure how to fully construct their story as well. And we want to make sure that they don't kind of turn back away from telling their story. So what kind of tips or ideas do both of you have on recommendations for helping people overcome that hesitation or just that mental block where they kind of get halfway through and not really sure kind of how to continue on?
The first thing I think about when I hear this question, especially when you talk about somebody saying, I don't have a story to tell. And man, I hear that all the time. they think, you know, I don't have a story to tell. But when you start from the idea that everyone has a story to tell, and it's important for that story to be told, you start seeing elements of that story in other people as you talk to them, as you learn more about them. Then you can start drawing more pieces of that out of them. The more you pay attention for those things in other people, the more you start seeing it in yourself and in the systems that you really work in. It's not easy. We're complex individuals. We're complex organizations. It shouldn't take 10 seconds to deconstruct all of that into what the core story is. Now, when you get there, you might think, oh yeah, you know what? That's it. Why didn't I see that before? Why didn't I know right away that's what the core of this was? I think my biggest part of this that I have to say is when somebody says, I don't have a story. No, you do have a story yet. You just don't know what it is. But most importantly, you don't know yet why it matters to someone else out there. The reason stories matter to us is because they build empathy. We tell the story, and the person who is hearing the story sees part of themselves in it. They can put themselves in your story. You know, they know somebody who is part of your story. They are part of your story. They're doing something similar. They're going through something similar. So that when you're telling your story, you are building empathy. And that is what's going to, and it really draw people together to work for that, to be about that common cause. So is it daunting? It seems like a huge task when you're first getting started. But it's those small pieces and getting at that core piece. And once you see people kind of nodding along, once you see people kind of, they get it, they start, then, you know, the brakes are off. And this car is going to start rolling downhill and it's just going to keep picking up speed. I'm going to throw in another quick story. I may have to edit this one out after I get started. The great philosopher, Joe Walsh, guitar player for the Eagles, member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, all that kind of stuff. I once saw a special with him in it that said he would meet people all the time that would tell him, oh, you know, I've loved your music for a long time. By the way, I have a band. I'm in a band. And he'd say his first thing he would say back to those people is, oh, that's fantastic. When's your next gig? And they would say, oh, well, we don't have a gig yet. And he would say, well, then you don't have a band. If you're not doing what you do in front of people, if you're not telling your story, if you're not out there putting your story in front of people, you don't have a band. You're just a bunch of guys hanging out in your mom's basement playing.
or garage, you know.
Yeah. Now he says, you're going to, I hope we don't get the explicit tag for this. You're going to suck at first. It's going to happen, but you've got to get out there and you've got to do what you're doing in front of or for people, in order for your message to get across and for your story to be told, for you to really build your community and find your tribe.
I agree with, one of the first things Michael said. I wrote it down word for word. Everyone has a story to tell. You just have to figure out what it is that's worth sharing. Before I came to West, the superintendent here, he and I had worked together in a previous district years ago. And when we talked about, the possibility of me coming to West, I had some questions. They had just built a state-of-the-art elementary school, I think a year or two prior to me, this conversation taking place. But enrollment had been down, and the new school didn't change that. So as we were having these conversations, I asked him flat out, I said, is there anything good happening at your school, or is it not good? And he goes, no, there's good things happening. Just no one knows about it. And the perception is that nothing good's going on. And we were routinely losing students to a neighboring school district to open enrollment. They had better athletic teams, athletic facilities. The perception was the academics were better, and we were losing kids, a ton of kids. So I said, well, if you've got good things going on, we can fix that. If you don't have anything good going on, then you can tweet and Facebook post all you want, but if it's garbage, it's garbage.
Yeah.
And he said, no, that's not the case. So in the 4 years since then, our enrollment has just absolutely exploded. To the point where we're almost outgrowing our brand new state-of-the-art elementary school.
Wow.
We went from a typical class of being about 100 students to now we're pushing 140 in our kindergarten class. So it's an actual example of, we were sharing our story. When good things happen, we were putting pictures, we were posting about it, we were creating videos, and we were basically jamming it down people's throats that, our school is a great school. And today was a perfect example. So state test data came out last week, the dreaded state report card day.
Mm.
But it was actually a great day for us because our third graders had the highest passing rate of any school within a 7-county radius.
Oh, that's awesome.
And we scored higher than schools that you know, we have no business scoring higher than. So, yeah, we posted an infographic about that today, and it's getting shared like crazy. And again, the perception of us not being a good school is long gone, and people are now open enrolling into our district. So it's not going to happen overnight, but I can say in just a little over 3 years at West Muskingum, we've seen a tremendous difference.
Congratulations. Yeah. I mean, that has to feel great to see, you know, a lot, like you're kind of saying, it's not overnight. Sometimes it's a long haul. So it has to feel good to kind of see the fruits of that labor, of all of those efforts that you've been putting in there, really starting to, you know, to pay off, to change that perception, you know, because we say here sometimes that, you know, perception can really feel like reality when that's what everyone believes, right? The misinformation that you talked about at the beginning, if that's really what everyone believes, then how are we changing that, right? So that's awesome to see that sure. You guys are turning that around.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those fantastic things too with just talking to the coaches specifically out there that are listening in on this. I mean, even if you are out there tweeting some different things that are happening in the classroom, community is going to be enjoying it. But I mean, I'm sure you're creating those PLNs, you're out there on Twitter and the Twitterverse and things like that. And there might be a coach that's struggling to try and wrap their head around a concept for a class. And then boom, they see your image of third graders working on, you know, using Book Creator or something like that and reading aloud with that. And then you're like, oh, that's it. The aha moment. So you can take that back to your district, whether that's the same county, state, throughout the country, maybe somewhere else in the world. I don't know. But the fact is that, I mean, it's out there, and that's something that it's not only just for the community and for the people that are within the school district connected there, but even for other coaches and other educators and administrators that are all across the world.
Heck yeah, we like to share with each other.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so kind of what I'm kind of hearing the two of you talk about, I'm almost kind of thinking about storytelling, kind of parceling in like two different buckets where – you know, Ryan, I'm hearing you particularly like where the work of the coach can help share those like individual pockets of great things that are happening to make sure those are coming out and people in the community and our families and our district leaders see that these things are going on. And Michael, I'm really kind of hearing you speak to maybe the individual story that might help with greater change or like the collective vision story that we have, not that vision statement that we work through in strategic planning and slap on a piece of paper somewhere on the website, but really like the really deep why that we can all kind of strive and we're all working toward that same goal. So kind of thinking about, you know, both bucket, no matter which, is like important. Both are important, I think, maybe to work together, but kind of from those two perspectives and thinking about that, how do both of you maybe combine that feeling of what you're doing and sharing on campus, paired with all of the job responsibilities in a way that is helping to lead others, being the teachers or the students, to achieve their goal? How are we using those stories to help others achieve their goal?
So I would say it's helping our teachers. They might not realize it, but if we can create, you know, again, when Michael and I were in school, whatever the teacher said was law. And we weren't going to come home and convince our parents that the teacher did something wrong and the parent, the mom or dad was going to believe our version and have a meeting with the teacher. With just a different generation, whatever the teacher said was law. That's not the case anymore. So when I am sharing stories about the great things that are happening, it's almost so that the parents are reassured. They're not questioning the teacher, trying to build that credibility with the teacher and the family that, hey, if Mrs. So-and-so is sending a note home about Billy, there's probably an issue there. We don't need to question because, and the parents, and I've had this conversation, the parent is like, you know what? I've seen what's going on in Mrs. So-and-so's class. I've seen it on Facebook. I've seen it in the videos. So I have a really hard time believing, you know, Johnny, that what you're telling me is happening in class. I guess that was a really long way of saying I'm trying to help the teachers get the benefit of the doubt with families because they've seen so many good things that are happening throughout the school year on social media.
Sure.
Yeah, and I'll go a little bigger on this. I had talked a little bit on a previous question about how telling your story was about building empathy, and you know making the hearer feel like they're part of your, helping them understand how they are part of your story and where they fit. But once people see themselves in your story and they know where they fit in your story, that's where you can bring. That's where you have to bring in the call to action. Telling a great story is great. That's you're telling a great story. You might entertain people. But once the empathy is built, then you can bring in the call to action. And that's where, and I don't know if Ryan will affirm this or try to shrink away from it, but Wes Muskingum now, and he was kind of alluding to this earlier. His district now is a place where parents are saying, that's where I want my kid to go. Bigger than that, his district is a place now where there are people who teach in other districts who are getting ready to become teachers who are saying, that's where I want to teach. I want to work in that district. I want to teach for that guy. I want to work for that guy. I don't think there's a way to overstate how powerful that is. And that's what empathy does. When you can build that empathy and then, bring in the call to action. Ryan's not telling their story to sell more books. He's not telling their story to get more hits on his social media feeds. He's telling their story in order to help Wes Muskingum be the most successful district that it can be to produce, great people to put out into the world. And once people see that, and once people know that that's what's happening, they want to be part of it. They're invited to join along and they jump in.
Yeah. And I feel like we've created more of a team atmosphere where it's not us versus them in terms of school, family. It's more of a team concept of, hey, we're all on the same page. We're all working together to make sure Billy and Susie can be the best that they can be. So what do we need to do? How can we work together to make sure we're putting this kid up for success? And I will admit to what Michael said, we have in this district and in my previous district, we've been able to attract teachers because they kind of see the things that are going on. And, we give our teachers a lot of freedom. We have certain things that we expect, but we give our teachers a lot of freedom and creativity to do some unique things. And when people know about that, it does become a place where they come to work. I'm sure we have people that would like to be other places. I think you're going to have that anywhere, but I think a lot more people want to be here than don't. And that's from prospective students, prospective teachers, and even prospective administrators. We didn't have a difficult time finding my replacement when I transitioned from the role of principal to assistant superintendent. And again, word was out of the good things and the trajectory that our school and our district are on.
Heck yeah, I think you have three more people who want to be a part of it right here.
Ryan, you had stated in your book talking about a high connection factor for engagement. So when you're telling your story to others, what are some tools that you can use to create that high connection factor for your engagement?
So I mentioned this earlier, but I think it answers the question. Photos and video.
Sure.
And I use that app called Quick. And what I actually found out, because I know you've got some listeners here that are thinking this to themselves, I'm already busy. How am I going to find time to do this?
Yeah.
and if you're driving and you're like, yes, I was thinking that. Yeah, don't wreck. it actually was saving me time. I was able to create these video newsletters in less time than it was taking me to type up a newsletter or anything like that, because I had my phone with me. I was taking pictures in the moment. So it wasn't one more thing. It was something that was happening while I was doing whatever it was, visiting a classroom, observing a teacher, whatever. So it's not going to be as time consuming as you think. And again, that challenge that I gave earlier, just take some pictures this week. If you don't have that app, download it and create a 60-second video. All you do is you pick the pictures that you want and select the length of time you want the video montage to be, and you're done. Like, you will finish this in less than 2 minutes. And again, what impact that would have. Maybe the first time you're going to do it, you'll just share it with, you know, whoever you report to, whether that's a principal, or if you've got another coach that's the head coach that everyone reports to, just share that and say, you know, I know our focus this month has been, you know, small group instruction and math. Here's some of it in action. And again, show your value that, hey, whatever you've been charged to do, you're getting there, it's being implemented, and eventually you'll see the results.
Ryan, I love that. I feel like you just reshaped tech coach newsletters everywhere. Mm-hmm. I can see everyone like, oh, I'm going to save so much time.
Absolutely.
I guess I've got a question for you, because you work with coaches far more than I do.
Yeah.
The majority of coaches you work with, is their primary role to work with teachers who are struggling, or to focus on maybe an instructional method that the school or district would like to see?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we have a motto here for our coaching team that we like to share with admin, and that is, coaching is not an improvement plan. We, of course, work with maybe some teachers who are struggling, but we really push and encourage to make sure that we work with teachers of all ability levels and comfort levels, and new teachers, veteran teachers, kind of all over the spectrum. Because in our mind, even the pros, even the best in class, have a coach. And it's not something that's only given to the worst players, the players cut from the team, but everyone gets a coach. So our role is really to support anyone and everyone, regardless of where they're at in their journey. So, fellas, I don't know if you have anything that you would add to that, but from my perspective, that's what I would say.
I mean, I think that pretty much sums it up. I mean, unless Michael, Michael's always got great words of wisdom. So
yeah, Michael, give me a better quote.
You nailed it. Absolutely nailed it.
Awesome. Well, guys, I don't know. You may or may not. I feel like you've kind of peppered on this next question that I was going to ask you. So if you don't have anything new to add, feel free to say that. Really, we want to make sure, you know, how can storytelling have both short and long-term impact? You know, Ryan, you've obviously spoken volumes about really how the storytelling has transformed the district. Mm-hmm. Michael, I think you highlighted a great point of, not only do you have kids saying, I want to go there as a result of the storytelling that West Muskingum has done, but you also have teachers who want to teach there, which I think that was an awesome perspective to add to it too. And Michael, you talked about building the empathy, but anything else that you guys would add in terms of short or long-term impacts that storytelling can have?
Yeah, I'm going to jump in on this one, just because from the coaching perspective, I've personally seen when teachers start seeing some of the cool things that happen in other rooms that we work in, that how that can open the doors, be like, well, what? You know, suddenly that teacher that you, every time you walked by their classroom, the door was closed and locked, no matter how many times you knocked on the door, you know, every email you've sent them has gone unanswered, everything. Suddenly their compadre across the hall has done some project or something with you and has gone really, really well. And suddenly they're going to their admin and they're complaining, why haven't they come to see me? Why aren't they coming to work with me? Wait a minute. I couldn't get in your room for the first 9 weeks. And part of that whole storytelling piece, it goes to, and you know, I've read enough school leadership books. I've been to enough school leadership conferences. I think with somewhere within every one of those, there's some version of that maxim that culture eats strategy for breakfast. And telling your story is not about building a strategy. Telling your story is about building a culture. And so that has short-term effects as far as, like I was talking about, drawing people in to want to transform their practice. It also has long-term effects, kind of like we've already talked about. And you know what? Being absolutely real about it, especially for the public school folks, if you ever have to run a levy, what do you want the voters to think about when they go into the voting?
Oh, yeah.
Do you want them thinking about the last, the what your ratings were on the last report card? Or do you want them thinking about all those great pictures that you've been sending of what their kids are doing in your district? And honestly, I mean, that is really where it comes down to it for some of our districts.
Hear, hear. Michael, I almost hit the applause sound effect button multiple times, but definitely on that last piece. I had to stop myself.
All right, gentlemen, any final top three tips that you have for telling your story? I mean, I feel like they've been peppered all throughout, but yeah. Maybe let's kind of ring them back in just as a final closing note here.
Yeah, so number one is keep it positive. So it's not the Facebook post reminding families of dress code policies, not the method you want to do. So keep it positive. You've got so many positive stories. It shouldn't be too difficult. Get the kids involved as much as you can. Obviously, you're going to be taking photos to start out with, but eventually you might want to do some interviews. And if you can get kids to take that over to feature something that's going on, or just interviewing a kid about, what's this like in math class, small group instruction like a reading group, just to get their perspective and insight. I think the more you can get kids involved, the better. And then keep doing it on a regular basis. So this is not something you have to do every single day, but it's also not something you want to do once and then not do it again for another month or 6 weeks. You want to kind of do it on a regular basis. I will tell you, so that video newsletter that I usually do every Friday, the one Friday that I don't do it, I'll get a comment from someone. Hey, there was no video last week. Everything okay? And yeah, I was busy. And that's not an excuse, but it's a good thing because they're waiting for it. And yeah. When's the last time you had a parent say, "Hey, I didn't get your paper newsletter last week.
Yeah,
because I wanna make copies of it and mail it to my aunt and relatives in California. I'm gonna Xerox it." Like, those things don't happen the old way, but they're gonna share it on social media. And it'll spread like wildfire.
I love that, especially the piece about getting the kids involved. Mm-hmm. I feel like I just saw all the coaches' ears perk up, because teachers are more likely to succumb to the peer pressure, if you will, not only from their peers, like Michael mentioned, but really when the kids are asking for it, or when they see the impact and how much the kids like it. So that's awesome. Michael, what about you?
There's going to be some definite parallels to what Ryan already said. But my top three, my first one is be honest. Don't exaggerate, but don't downplay. Don't make things sound way, way, way better than they are, but also don't pull the false humility and say nothing good is happening. So be honest about what's going on. Secondly, I gotta say, be concise about what's going on. Stick to what's really pertinent. Sure. And what really pertains to your story. Ryan talked earlier about making sure, having a goal for himself that video was going to be 3 minutes. That's a great way to, make sure that, when say you get your message out there, get it in and get it out, so that you're really sticking to the core of what your story is. And then I think my third one is, especially, I got to draw from, especially from our team and working through some of this, be bold. Don't apologize for your story. You're helping others see how they fit in your story and why they will be glad to be part of it. In order to do that, you have to be, along with being honest and being concise about your story, you have to be bold enough to tell it.
Yeah, and if you're in a district that's, open to this, you've got to take advantage of it. Like, I am so fortunate. I work for a great superintendent, Chad Schauger. We've got a great school board. I mean, they let me do a lot of out-of-the-box things, and I am aware of that and so appreciative of that. So I would be remiss if I didn't publicly thank them. But if you're in a similar situation, take advantage of it, because that's not always the case. I've worked in some places where I didn't have that kind of freedom to do some of those things, and it's just frankly not as fun and enjoyable.
I really like that last one about being bold and telling your story. I mean, there's like 7 billion people in the world, and even though everyone's unique, someone's probably going through a scenario or a situation that they can really relate to your story, and it could really, really help them out, whether it's, you know, in more of an individual manner or in a school district manner through the coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a wrap on our season one. Believe it or not.
Hard to believe.
We were the season finale.
You're the season finale, yes.
We were the season finale. We didn't want to tell you at the beginning. We didn't want any extra pressure on you.
Now all these people driving, they've got to wait months and months for the season opener.
Well, just maybe like 2 months.
Just a couple months, yeah.
We are taking a little bit of a break here from the Restart Recharge, giving our team that work tirelessly on this podcast a little bit of a break for over the holidays. And we'll hope that you will catch back up with us. Well, make sure you catch up on all your episodes first in case you haven't got all there, because, you know, it's crazy throughout the school year. But catch up with us after some rest, after you caught up with your episodes, had some good relaxing time over the holiday break, and be ready to rejoin us here on the Restart Recharge again in January 2022.
Yeah. And so first, thank you to Michael. Thank you, especially Ryan, you know, outside of our team joining us for this episode today. Really excited. Hopefully, you know, with this kind of season finale episode here, our hope is that people will leave kind of inspired mm-hmm. to go into that holiday break season, kind of ready to think about recharge and think about their story and how they can help contribute to not only their individual story, but obviously the story of the larger school system, and really kind of help moving everybody along. So we're excited about that. And then also, I think Justin and I would like to extend a thank you to all of our listeners who have been patient with us over this first season. There have been a lot of figuring things out as we go, lot of trial and error. You know, Ryan, you mentioned at the beginning about how you just decided to just jump in and do that first video. I feel like that was really our experience with this podcast. And we just tried to jump in and figure it out as we go along. So thank you. It really means a tremendous amount. We love hearing from you on social media. We love seeing emails from you. We love seeing that, you know, that we are helping coaches out there. So thank you so much for listening along with us for this first year.
Yes. Thank you so much to all the listeners out there.
Yeah, so for the last time, unless of course you're going to get caught up on some previous episodes, the last time in 2021, be sure to subscribe to Restart Recharge wherever you listen to podcasts, and follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at @RRCoachCast.
Also, since we're going to have a couple months off, that means we'll have some time, and then we'll be diving back into figuring out what our season two is even going to look like. So if you have anything that's on your mind or anything that you want us to talk about or cover or anything like that, I mean, please reach out to us. This is a great time to do so, because it'll really get our minds wrapped around how we're going to come back with season two.
So press the restart button.
Recharge your coaching batteries and leave feeling equipped and inspired to coach fearlessly with the Restart Recharge podcast.
A Tech Coach Collective.
Michael, we're going to have an editing here.
't worry, if I haven't gotten us the explicit tag, this podcast is clear for takeoff.